It's Hudson Valley Focus with Tom Sipas on The Beacon.
Back to my conversation with Shannon Robach, Science Director at Riverkeeper. So, Shannon, the algae bloom in the Hudson River is something that we're looking at this year, correct?
Yes, we are seeing right now an unprecedented harmful algal bloom on the Hudson River. It is the first time that we've seen an algal bloom this widespread and intense on the river, maybe in living memory when talking with researchers who have been observing and studying this river for many years.
Yeah, and I actually was just looking. I was curious to see what the reservoir level is in the Great Sagandaga Lake. And last year at this time, we were, I guess we were about the same period, because that has a lot to do with the water quality coming down the Hudson River, correct? And the level?
Yes. So we are definitely in an abnormally dry period, and hopefully we're going to get some rain soon.
Yes.
But what that does is it causes a decrease in the amount of fresh water that is sort of discharging into the river. And so that makes the river a bit more stagnant.
Yep.
It makes it more difficult to sort of wash out. In this case, the culprit behind the harmful algal bloom is actually not algae. It is cyanobacteria that looks very similar to algae. And that cyanobacteria needs a few different things to grow. It needs heat, and that is something that we have. We have warm water right now.
Mm-hmm.
It needs food, which typically is in the form of nutrients like nitrate and phosphorus. And it needs somewhat stagnant water. And because we aren't seeing a lot of inflow of water right now from precipitation, the water in the river is a bit stagnant. It's warm. It is nutrient enriched. And so it's the perfect conditions for an algal bloom.
Actually, as I look at this, a year ago, the Sagandaga Reservoir was at 760 feet. This year it's at 757, so it's actually slightly lower than it was last year at this time, which has a major impact on water flow. And I know in past years, many years ago, I was on Sagandaga. I bought a sailboat up there, and everybody had to get their boats out in a hurry because this would have been the summer of 1978. They were drawing the water level down to push the salt line back down here in the area we're in here. This is something that, from my standpoint, I have just been fascinated with it since I was a little kid and you know, first went to the State Museum up in Albany back in the 1950s and learned about the Ice Age and how it shaped the Hudson Valley. We live in a unique area, Shannon, where we can get out and actually see the effects of, from the Ice Age on through up to current day. Shannon?
Yeah, that's true. And, but we're also living in a time where things are changing,
yes,
where it's getting hotter, where we're seeing more short-term drought at the end of summer. So, this harmful algal bloom is unprecedented, but it probably is not the last time that we will see this. We're moving into a period where the sort of conditions in terms of the heat, in terms of the drought, are likely to become more common and more severe. And so as that happens, this might be the first time that we are seeing an algal bloom of this degree in the river, but unfortunately it's probably not going to be the last time.
One thing that's interesting, and for many, 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 many years, I've had a theory that in the Clean Air, Clean Water Acts of the early 1970s, which I'm a strong advocate of, from then till now, we've gotten about 2/3 of our particulates out of the atmosphere. And getting those two-thirds of the particulates out of the atmosphere, which we know were very harmful to our health, has actually allowed a percentage more sunlight to reach the Earth's surface. And I've had this belief for 20 or 30 years, and the science is now out on that. And the fact is that without those reflective particles, the idea that it's, you know, CO2, 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 you know, that's been the cause. No, the getting the particulates out of the atmosphere has had a huge impact on how much sunlight. Even like they say that London, England now gets 50% more sunshine over the course of the year than it did in the 1950s and 60s from those old movies where they were talking about the London fog, which was really smog. So we have, for all that we think we know, Shannon Roback, we keep learning more and more and more. I guess you'd agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, and ultimately, whatever, you know, there are multiple factors
yes.
that are impacting the heat, and, you know, whatever those factors are, and they're different sort of weights, we do know that the temperature in the water is rising,
sure.
and we do know that we're seeing these droughts more commonly, and so I think what we're really doing right now is thinking about what do we do to prepare if there are harmful algal blooms in the future.
Right.
We know this is a possibility. What can we do now to make sure that people stay safe when they're recreating in the water, that the drinking water stays safe? Because these harmful algal blooms do release toxins. And so we want to make sure that
Absolutely.
If we see something like this on the horizon in future years, that there's sort of an immediate spring into action for municipalities, for the Department of Health, to make sure that people are aware, that people can take precautions so that they don't put themselves or their family at risk.
One of the things, and again, I've seen some articles of interest recently. I've long been an advocate of, you know, trying to get back to the idea of crop rotation in our agriculture so that we're not using as many artificial fertilizers. I mean, you just talked about the fact that how, you know, some of those fertilizers, when they run off, they can feed these algae blooms and you know, I mean, out in the Midwest, down the Mississippi River, you've got some of those dead zones in the Gulf because of the excess runoff of contaminants down in Mississippi, correct?
Yeah, so nutrients are the food, again, for the cyanobacteria, which are the sort of culprit behind the harmful algal bloom. And we have nutrients that are getting into the water in a number of ways. We have fertilizer use. We have manure. We have, in the Hudson, a lot of humid waste, actually, that makes its way in. We have wastewater treatment plants, and that treated wastewater does remove some contaminants and some bacteria and viruses, but it's not great in most cases at removing those nutrients. And so we do have sort of a number of different sources that contribute this nutrient pollution. And so we know that the river is sort of enriched in nutrients.
Yes, yes. And I'm going to need to get a break here and again in a second. And if you can hold through and spend a few more minutes with me.
No problem.
Shannon Roback, Science Director at Riverkeeper, and their website, riverkeeper.org. Riverkeeper.org. Back in a minute after the sports report with the Zoles on the Beacon.
Live, local, and unafraid, this is Hudson Valley Focus with Tom Sipas on the Beacon.
720 on the Beacon. Back to my conversation with Shannon Roback, Science Director for Riverkeeper, riverkeeper.org. So you work with Dan Shapley, I believe, Shannon?
That's right.
So I've known Dan since he and my youngest daughter were in grade school together.
Wow, that's fantastic.
I'll have to get him in the studio here one of these days and talk more about this. I have a concern. Last week at this time, I did a story about the talking about the construction of one of these large-scale battery energy storage systems. And this one in question would have been in the town of Poughkeepsie on Route 55 Manchester Road. And Mike, and I think that project may be on hold right now. But in terms of looking at a project like that, they can malfunction, they can burn, giving off toxins into the air. But then also, you know, with being able to, you know, spray water them to try to cool them down, or when rain may come. That particular site on Manchester Road is right within sight and of a really sensitive swamp pond area, which then drains into the Wappingers Creek, which then, of course, winds up down here in New Hamburg going into the Hudson River. Shannon, I think back to the Marathon Battery Company that to this day that was down on the banks of the Hudson River, Cold Spring, the pollution that it caused in the river. Keeping all of these different things in mind is something that I would hope that our policymakers and all would do. Your thoughts?
Yeah, so there are a number of sort of potential sources of pollution that are all around the Hudson Valley that are, you know, close to the banks of tributaries that make their way into the river. There are potential impacts to drinking water supply,
yes,
to recreation. So we are sort of always keeping an eye organizationally on these different sources and also new projects that are being proposed so that we make sure that that water stays protected. So we spend a lot of time looking at sort of permits where, the entity will have to clearly identify whether or not there will be impacts to water. And we evaluate that kind of paperwork and we, you know, see, okay, do we think that this, this facility is going to make a contribution that it, you know, is not articulated in their permit? Is this something that we need to, you know, contact Department of Environmental Conservation and say, this facility, we are looking at their permit and we have concerns that maybe it's not, clear exactly what the risk is. We think there might be more risk here than is being stated. Sometimes we're working with regulators to draw out those concerns when there's a facility, again, could be an existing facility that we see something, you know, maybe we see a discharge that doesn't look right, or we see something in the permit that we think is, going to cause an issue, or could be a new facility. And so we work very closely with DEC, and we, you know, are sort of a watchdog and making sure that that this work is done right, and that the river and the water bodies that lead to the river are all remain protected.
I mean, that's something that, there just needs to be much more conversation about this. And I mean, this is sounds like what I mentioned. Dan Shapley serves as technical advisor to Hudson River Drinking Water Intermunicipal Council. This is something that's, you know, obviously on his radar screen as well as yours, keeping track of this. But I have a very, very serious concern about these big, large-scale battery storage systems, both from their potential to give off, toxic fumes to the air. But then in this particular one, when I actually looked at it on the, you know, the GIS maps, because I was familiar with the area, in terms of even how the slopes of the land are there, and really concerned that if something were to happen, it would be pretty easy for those toxic materials to find their way into really sensitive water areas. And I don't think that, based on what I heard, the conversations in the town of Poughkeepsie were taking that seriously. I mean, I understand that, you know, these things don't happen that often. My background was insurance and risk management. You talk about frequency, you talk about severity. So even though, you know, they don't that often have something malfunction and you know, cause fires or explosions, when it does happen, the severity of it, particularly around residential areas and waterways, can be enormous and very devastating to the area. Shannon?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely true. And I think you're illustrating something really important here, which is that Riverkeeper can only do the work that we do because of people like you who are aware of what's happening in their community and concerned and bringing those concerns to us. You know, there is a lot that's happening in the watershed, and you know, oftentimes it is our concerned citizens who reach out and say, you know, in my town, there's this proposal for, you know, a battery plant or something else, and I have concerns. And in you keeping an eye on your own backyard, and then letting us know when we can step in and you know, take a closer look and try to understand the situation and the risks and potentially take action, it's such an important part of the work that we do. And so, you know, with this battery plant, you know, we really, you know, I completely understand the concern, and we have looked at similar facilities. And so I definitely will, you know, take a closer look at what's happening at this particular facility. And I would encourage other folks, if they have concerns or even if they have questions, to reach out. You can go on our website. There's a contact form, and let us know that, you know about something in your community and you're worried that it may impact water quality. It may negatively impact the river. And, you know, can we sort of take a look, and is this something to be concerned about? Is something that we take all of those very seriously.
And Shannon, in the minute or so we have left, I mean, the idea to go to riverkeeper.org, there are many, many, many volunteer opportunities that people can participate in, correct?
Yeah, and we also have a brand new water quality data portal, which is just a fantastic source of information. It functions as a map, so you can find your home or your favorite place to recreate. You can see our water quality data. You can see how water quality is in that location. You can also see whether there are any fish advisories. If you're a fisherman and you want to fish from the river, you can see if there are any advisories where the fish are not safe to eat. You can also go in there and you can see you know, who provides your drinking water, and you can get a report about your drinking water and the safety of your drinking water, as well as map different kind of sources of pollution in your community. So it's a really, really great tool for understanding yes. water quality, understanding how that impacts fish, how that impacts drinking, and then kind of taking a look at where potential facilities may be that could influence the water quality in your area. So I highly recommend folks take a look at that on our website.
Shannon Roback, I so appreciate you being so generous with your time. And as I say, on Hudson Valley Focus Live, the air, water quality, all of these things, because of my decades-long just personal interest in it, I really appreciate you and others from Riverkeeper spending time with us here on Hudson Valley Focus Live.
Happy to be here.
We'll continue these conversations going forward. Thanks very much, Shannon. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you.
7:30 on Hudson Valley Focus Live. Oh, Mr. Ed Kowalski sitting next to me over here in the studio. We got some very, very, very important subject matter to talk about in a minute after these news, traffic, and weather updates here on The Beacon.